So, yeah, I said in the 1 o'clock hour I was going to talk about Luis L. Ortiz. I remember him coming to Yankee Stadium and shoving against the Yankees, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Yankees make anybody look like an ace. Man, this video of Volpe, I just quote tweeted it and put it on my Twitter, and I translated the words during the break. So the person that put the video out was like, yeah, I saw that game. Luis L. Ortiz had a low strikeout rate, and he won the game with a high strikeout, and he was saying to himself, F word, when Volpe strikes out. So if you watch this video, Buddy throws the ball 86 miles an hour. I don't know. I forget what his pitch mix was. It looked like a slider. In the zone, and Volpe strikes out on it, and his expression after the strikeout does not look like a, like, there's no reason for him to be pumped. It's not the last out of the inning, and it is Volpe that he's striking out, not Judge. His expression looks like, oh, damn it, struck him out. So news breaks today about Luis L. Ortiz being investigated. And my first thought is, oh, he shoved against the Yankees. What are they investigating him for? Like PEDs? No. For gambling, right? He's under investigation for betting on himself. So baseball dugout on Instagram, like people, and that's the thing too. We're in this time, man, I remember when John Boy was doing the whole breakdowns thing, and he was the first one to go and put the video to the article of the investigation. I remember being in John Boy's apartment when he was living in Harlem, and he was on the air with Houston Radio breaking down what he found and how we did it. We're in this era now where MLB has MLB film room, and all of this stuff is so easy to find where, like, you can't hide anything. Everything is in plain sight. Y'all better stop tripping, thinking that you could do anything, not even just bet, like anything. You can't do anything illegal now. There's a digital trail right back to you to say, yup, this is it. So, I mean, they found this stuff quick with this guy, bro. He was betting on himself first pitch. And they have video of him. Bro, like, he threw a first pitch against the Cardinals that I'm looking at right now. It was so far in the other batter's box. It's like, it doesn't look like a Major League Baseball player, like a starting pitcher. He threw it straight into the batter's box, into the dirt, and it skipped to the backstop. I think the catcher was even surprised. So, sources said Betting Integrity from IC360 sent an alert in June to sportsbook operators regarding Ortiz. MLB placed on a non-disciplinary paid leave. Ortiz threw a first pitch slider that was well outside the strike zone. Like, he's this guy who's betting on himself first pitches. The alert, according to sources who reviewed it, referenced action on Ortiz's first pitches in select innings to be a ball or hit batsman in two games. So, like, this guy is, who knows? I don't know if he's that dumb to have bet on himself. The alert on Ortiz's first pitches were flag bets in Ohio, New York, and New Jersey. So did he come here and bet while he was playing the Yankees? Betting on the result of the first pitches is offered by some sports books, yada, yada, yada. But anyway, like he's about to risk his entire career off this. This has got to be so dumb to do this. But last but not least, Jeff Passan wrote, and you know Passan's on it. Passan's not putting out anything unless it's valid and legit. In a typical MLB season, more than 700,000 pitches are thrown. Two from Luis Ortiz had unusual gambling action on them, prompting an alert. It sent out an investigation by MLB. The alert, according to sources who reviewed it, yep, Ortiz's first pitch in select innings to be a ball or hit batsman in two games, June 15th against the Seattle Mariners and June 27th against the St. Louis Cardinals. In both the bottom of the second inning against the Mariners and the top of the third inning against the Cardinals, Ortiz threw a first pitch slider. As I said, it looked like he it was well outside the zone. This guy's manipulating his slider to,
I mean,
to
it
cash
really
out.
Is unbelievable. It's like unbelievable.
I'm tickled by this, bro. When I saw this earlier today, I'm like, no way. No way. You're getting paid well.
And you know what's interesting to me? I remember doing I forget which game it was, but one of the games where he pitched against the Yankees, I think it was in Cleveland, but I'm not 100% sure.
There was a recent one. It just passed in
June.
No,
this one, I think he pitched one earlier in the year, too, maybe in April versus the Yanks. Maybe I could be wrong on that
he
one,
did.
But I think so.
That's where the Volpe clip comes from.
Yeah, so
He accidentally struck out Volpe. He was mad as hell.
Bro, insane. But I remember Susan saying early in that game, or maybe even before the game started in the pregame, she mentioned how Ortiz is... For some reason, like, he has great stuff, but he's just erratic. He's all over the zone. He throws a lot of balls. I don't know what's going on with him. His control's off. Now we know why that control might have been off a little bit.
He has some wagers. And he might even have a team of people like yo, I'm gonna, yo, bet on me.
We're throwing a ball to start the third, boys.
Yeah, third inning, bro. I'm gonna throw some BS out there.
I'm hitting a fan in the first row out in left field. I'm just turning around and I'm throwing the ball to Jose Ramirez on this one. That's going to be a ball. It'll be good.
Bro, like, we are in this era of this gambling. So I said it a couple weeks ago, like, we've only just begun, you know, we don't really even know who is doing what. Malik Beasley stuff is crazy. Yeah, so the second game of the Guardians series, when the Guardians beat the Yankees 4-0, Ortiz went out there and shoved. He went 5 2/3, only gave up 3 hits, no runs, had 7 Ks.
And that's the thing, right? He's a good pitcher. Like,
his,
I remember him.
His over-under was probably like 5.5 strikeouts. He was like, oh, I'm cashing tonight.
I mean, and listen, all of this is like, you know, we have to wait and see how everything ends up turning out. But based off of the evidence that we have right now, it's, wow.
No, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear that he did this. And that's why it's even crazier that they let Ohtani just walk. Mike is in Bayside, New York on the Fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was going to ask you, like, what do you think of the total tomorrow over on the 8? I was going to ask you and Zoo. But let me talk about this gambling stuff, because I think eventually you're going to have to put these games, even football, back to just, you can bet the game, you can bet the half, you can bet the total. That's it. Because now the cat's out of the bag. Let me give a great comparison. In horse racing, you have a lot of low-purse races where they manipulate the horses and they fix the races just because they're not making enough on the purse. Like, a regular season baseball game is very similar to that situation. And I always wonder why horse races don't catch people with, like, you know, gambling online. If there's someone that's always profitable, they're probably fixing the races or whatever. So this kid is just stupid, and we're going to have it over and over because people just can't resist. When there's cash on the line, you are going to be corrupt.
It's free money. It feels like it's free money. So, thanks for the call, Mike. I grew up at Monmouth Racetrack. Like, that's different. Betting on the ponies, you're walking up with cash in hand. You're betting with the tailor. I know now, the teller. I know now you can do it with the apps or whatnot. I don't know. You can't regulate it. And, like, that's why it took so long for them to legalize it, because they knew it was going to be problems. Like, it's what a perplexing Pegasus. Like, this is now, they've opened up Pandora's box with this. Like, they're, you can't go back now, because all the gambling leagues are, you know, all the gambling books are in bed with the leagues, and there's so many people, like, even Fanatics. Like, I didn't even know Fanatics had a sports book, and, like, Fanatics, they were giving out stuff for the sports book, and you could bet in there with the sports book, and they're opening up sports books at different places. Obviously, FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM. I'm sure I'm forgetting some. They're everywhere. And as much as they try to tell these players, don't bet on a game, don't bet on a game, they're going to take the chance. If you're a gambling man anyway, you're going to gamble on that. You're going to gamble on the fact that you're not going to get caught. But since you mentioned it, looking at ESPN and ESPN Bet, the New York Yankees are -110. And on the money line, the over-under is at 9.5. The Mets are -115. And New York Yankees, -1.5 is +150 on the run line. I honestly deleted the app because I was betting on the Yankees. And then when they start, I can't bet against the Yankees. If I was smart, I would be betting against the Yankees through this whole stretch. But I don't want that. Like, I don't want that money. Like, I know how Evan will, like, hedge or do an emotional hedge. Like, I don't want that. Like, that, what is that money to me? Like, I want to win. So I'm not going to, like, if I would have bet on George Springer this whole series, easy money. But I deleted the app because I knew they were falling into this June swoon. And I'm like, I don't want to think that, like, they're in this June swoon and tonight they're going to break out of it. So I load up on Judge, the Homer, Belly, Jazz, Goldie, Ben Rice, Trent Grisham, and then they just piss me off. Like, I'm not about to lose money with them losing all these games. But, yeah, here comes the Subway Series. You guys want to bet on that, go for it. Ross is in Bergen County on the Fan next. What's up, Ross?
What up, Keith? How you doing, bro?
Good, good. At least we were able to get some laughs out of Luis L. Ortiz, and it's not all misery and doom and gloom.
Hey, man, I'll tell you a couple things to piggyback off that situation. One, I don't know if you look back at the specific clips, like the two slider clips, because I think they might have been on different broadcasts, but full circle, you know, you're talking about how much exposure with these sports books, you know, being mentioned, everything, sponsoring everything. Do you think the Cleveland Guardians, their main feed is now the FanDuel Sports Network? They're not Bally anymore. So when he's throwing those sliders 20 feet, you know, away from the zone, he got the little FanDuel shield right on the score bug. It's insane, right? And the whole thing, I don't know if you saw it really quick. I don't even know if I don't name drop him. Did you see the thing? There was like that 7-leg home run parlay that got shared in like a Discord server or something, and everybody tailed it, and they lost certain sportsbook so much money that now they put in like an instant rule now that you can't, like, if you're publicly sharing.
Yeah,
like,
I did see that. No group. About. Yeah, yes. I did see that. Yeah. And it's like, you can't do that. Like, that's
not
how.
Only can you do that? But the irony is you go into one of those apps and you see the, you know, Charles Barkley's best bet, you know, Paul Bissonnette, depending on the score. I mean, they have
they want you to follow Colin Cowherd's bet or Bill Simmons' bet. Never. I never, ever, ever would do that.
And those are probably like AI generated for all.
But I stopped showing my winning bets because people are always like, yo, why don't you hit me up? And like, I have friends that I'm in group chats with and they're like, yo, this is going to hit tonight. And I leave the chat. But, like, that's how we all, like, a lot of us have bet in these last couple years of, like, yo, what's good for tonight? Who do you think's going to homer tonight? Yo, we're tailing. All right, yo, or let's all put in, you put in 100, I put in 100, I put in, like, that's just kind of part of the culture now. Now these sports books are going to tell us, hey, you guys can't do that? Okay.
And I love how, no, and of course it's like a gut reaction that they do with the one night one of those finally hits. There's never a problem when they were, you know, making racks on racks off those stupid parlays. The one day it finally hits, all of a sudden that, you know, no more. But I don't even know how that's going to stand. I don't even know if, like, they withdrew it or what, but I saw that on the feed the other day. One other thing really quick, and I'll get to my point. This thing with Lucas Ortiz, this is his first year with Cleveland. He just came from Pittsburgh, and aside from obviously Ohtani's a big gambling type scheme with the MLB, you remember last year they had like that shortstop Marcano or something was like the first guy to get busted for the gambling, and he was with Pittsburgh too. So I don't know if there was a little bit of a combined thing going on that Ortiz now brought to Cleveland when they were in the same dugout last year. And Marcano, he never, I think, like they got down on him like right away. I don't even think he might have been banned like that same week they investigated him. At least Ortiz, I don't know how long this is going to last, but something to look at there. They were in the same clubhouse last year.
I do remember there was a sweep of players last year, one of the Padres. I don't know. There's going to be more. There's going to be more. I know there's got to be some guys sweating right now, too. Like, damn, I gotta cover my tracks. Well, I know Ohtani. Ohtani's the only one that's not sweating. Ohtani's like, they need me. They need me. Ipe, handle that.
Ipe is like Squidward behind the cage looking at SpongeBob and Ohtani running, you know, free. You ever see, you know what I'm talking about? They got, like,
I've seen that meme, of course.
SpongeBob and Patrick running. Yep, that's Ohtani with his ring. Really quick, man, can I get to it? Open mic, right? I could do like an MLB point. I got to ask.
Sure, sure.
I hear so many people call, and I guess now's not really the time with the Yankees skidding Mets. Like, it's like a seesaw who's worse recently. But I hear so many Yankee fans in specific talk about how, you know, you guys always have Cleveland's number, Minnesota's number. Those are, like, you know, some of the most well-known things. Like, anytime you see Minnesota in the postseason, it's a guaranteed sweep or a gentleman's sweep. Same thing, kind of like the whole AL Central rhetoric. I don't can someone explain to me why now all of a sudden with Detroit, as good as the record is, there's no denying 20 games over 500. We saw Cleveland in this same spot last year. Why does it feel like it's like the flirting versus harassment thing? Last year, Cleveland was an instant write-off. Oh, you know, I want to see Cleveland because I know it's going like five games at the most. And all of a sudden now the Tigers, the big bad Tigers, I don't want to see them come postseason, which, keep in mind, you want to talk about shady business, you know, all this kind of like behind the scenes, who knows what's going on. don't you think it's a little shady that these big bad Tigers, two of the faces of their dynamic lineup, are two of the most, you know, the written off, most disgraced players in New York baseball in the last few years, and Gleyber Torres and Javi Baez, the same guys that every Yankee fan in this city wrote off Torres, every Met fan, myself included, wrote off Javi Baez, and rightfully so up until, you know, this year. And all of a sudden now they're two of the best bats in this lineup that everybody and their mother's supposed to fear. I mean, bro, I'll give Scooble his flowers.
And also you got to add that A.J. Hinch is definitely cheating somehow. We've already, you know, seen him be involved in a cheating scandal.
Bro, how about this? Forget the two disgraced infielders in New York. Spencer Torkelson and Casey Mize, back-to-back years, first overall picks. We got our fair share of busts here. Daniel Jones, Volpe, Lascocka, the list goes on and on of, you know, failed prospects that could do no wrong here. Spencer Torkelson and Casey Mize, we had 1 foot out of the league, and now in the same year, riding off of last year with the Gritty Tigers, whatever they were called, a month and a half. Bro, I saw somebody, you know, you see with Texas now, everybody's calling them a one-year wonder. I saw somebody say the difference between the Rangers and the Tigers is that the Tigers have been good for multiple years while the Rangers were a one-year wonder. Bro, we're talking about this time last year. It wasn't for like another month and a half that Detroit finally got going. This is complete recency bias. I'm going to go on the record. Scooble's the only legitimate player on that team because we know all too well, you know, Javi and Glaber's true colors in this city. And if you're telling me Torkelson and Casey Mize needed 7 years to finally establish themselves as an, you know, MLB level players, that they catapult themselves to number one in the AL. I'm sorry, bro. If I'm a Yankee fan or MLB fan in general, I'm not afraid of them come postseason time. I just have to get that out because, you know me, I can't stand Detroit.
Maybe. They just lost back-to-back games to the Nationals. James Wood went crazy on them. I don't know. They beat the Yankees. When the Yankees went out there, it was also freezing. And I don't know. I don't trust the Yankees. Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. Speaking of the Yankees, as I refresh my Twitter feed, Brian Hoke reports that Aaron Boone spoke to the Yankees tonight after getting swept in Toronto. Jazz Chisholm said that Boone reminded them that they're the best team in the league, and he wants them to be unfazed by recent struggles. Oh, man. I appreciate Aaron Boone. Cool dad. A cool dad. Cool dad is like, cool dad is the dad. You come home, your jeans are ripped, you're a little bloodied, you got a black eye. What happened, son? Kids jumped me. They jumped you? I got my ass beat, dad. I can't fight. Well, you're the best fighter in the school. I want you to be unfazed by getting jumped. And tomorrow you go back to school and don't get your ass whooped. Then you come home the next day, stomped out again. But dad, you told me I was the best. Like, nah, sometimes you need to be real with you need to be real with them. Hey, we're not the best team in the league right now. Actually, let's hit the standings right now, because the Yankees, they haven't gotten to 50 wins. The Mets got to 50 wins tonight. I'm sure the Yankees, if you want to look at run differential, they're still up there. But when you go to the standings and you look at all of Major League Baseball, are the Yankees still in the top 10? Barely. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They have the 9th best record in Major League Baseball. You are what your record says you are. Stop telling these guys these tall tales of like what they're not. That is the problem. That's what Francesa said on Twitter. We're a really good team. Like, that's the essence of the problem. Maybe try something else. And like I said, at this time, I know the Yankees have landed. I hope that there's at least one Yankee in some type of car service where, you know, the driver listens to WFAN because he wants to say, like, hey, yo, listen to these fans talk. Listen to these fans talk. Listen to Keith McPherson. He's a Yankee fan. He's hurting right now. He's fed up right now. I'm not going to lie to you. They're not playing well. They're not one of the better teams in the league. How? Like, where? You just got swept by the Toronto Blue Jays. I was just talking about the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays were not in a good spot just a couple weeks ago. Emmanuel Barbari was just talking about it on the post game. And like, as we look at run differential now, the run differential that you did have the lead in when you were like plus 105, oh, guess who has crept up on you? The Dodgers are at 100 now with you with plus 100 run differential. And now the Cubs this week, plus 109. And guess who's coming to town next week? Oh, yeah, the Chicago Cubs will be in the building next weekend. And you got to face the Mariners, too. Cal Raleigh's coming here to bop in the Bronx. So, like, what are we talking about? They better get it together. And I don't think you get it together by looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, like, I'm good. No, you just got swept. Let's go to Lennox. Robbie's on the fan again.
Big God, that's the 5-9 for THC, man. How are you? Oh, my God, I can't take it anymore, Keith. I need some Yankee therapy. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm just over it. I'm over it. Like, how do you lose four games in a row and embarrass yourself in so many ways, and then reports are coming out that the manager told them they're the best team in the league? No, you're not.
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. That's the whole problem. It's like a sugarcoating. You know what it is? There's no accountability. You know, we always keep saying, what would George do? What would George do? First of all, these two guys, Cashman and Boone, would have been gone, you know, years ago, okay? Because Cashman's got one championship in 25 years. Okay, so a couple of points about this whole situation, all right? First of all, Jason Dominguez has been the hottest hitter on the team. Why is he batting seventh in front of Anthony Volpe, who right now looks like Charlie Brown every time he swings the bat? Okay, I can't take any more. I feel so bad for Anthony Volpe. What would be so wrong, Keith, as you suggested, if we sent Anthony Volpe down and hone his skills a little bit, get his confidence going, and maybe he could be the leadoff hitter for the Yankees. The Yankees structurally, and I listened to Francesa's whole rant tonight, so I don't want to quote him, but some of the things he said, and I'm sure you've gone over this about different things, the team's not built right, and the team hasn't been right constructively for so long.
Yep.
It's always top-heavy, okay?
And they cut corners. Yep, go on.
Right. I was also going to say, the other thing is, why in the world is Giancarlo Stanton, who's 5-for-48 in lifetime, 109, why isn't Paul Goldschmidt up there in front of Giancarlo Stanton? Ooh, it's 5-for-48. Okay, it's like what you're listening to is like Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 wah. This is what I've heard for 8 years. I keep saying, 8 is enough. La, 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 la. That's what these guys are hearing. You know what? Where's the accountability? You know why? Because you don't have former Yankees. I guarantee you, if David Cone and Paul O'Neill and Bernie Williams, okay, were in that locker room, and especially Jorge Posada, because everybody talks about who was the leader of those teams. Now, Derek Jeter is the same as Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is not going to fling things across the room. But Jorge Posada was the guy who spoke up, and he was the guy who made things happen in that locker room. There is nobody like that right now. I don't care. Who is the guy right now who's flipping his wig and saying, this is embarrassing.
No one.
This is not the Yankee way. This is BS. You know, who is it, Keith?
There's no one, Robbie. Judge isn't like that. Judge is all world, and we all respect the player that he is. I mean, we don't all respect the player he is, because there are many people that say he's Mr. May or Mr. June and that he's going to fold in October. So what am I saying with that? I think the players in that clubhouse respect him, but I don't think he yells or gets mad. I think he's so locked in and focused, and he's a baseball player. They didn't even get mad when they got embarrassed and lost the World Series. The reports came out that they were sobbing and weeping and crying together. They were embarrassed, like, you know. Stanton, I think, is like more of the like tough type. But there's nobody in there that has won. Max Fried has a World Series ring with the Braves, but it's his first year here. Max Fried, when you listen to Max Fried talk, he's not inspiring anybody to like break out of this. Jazz is just too cool for school. He's swag champ, you know, he's aura. You know, you guys watch the Jazz Day in the Life? They went to Jazz's apartment, Jazz in his apartment. He's got a personal chef. You know, they're making bacon, egg, and cheese. He's got the fruits. He's got a studio in his apartment. He's kicking raps. He's making songs. He's showing off his Jordan collection. He's got all his designer clothes. Like, Jazz isn't coming in there yelling. And also, Jazz is being forced to play out of position right now. So he's kind of just, you know, doing what he's doing. Goldie commands respect because of his resume and his back of his baseball card. But it's also his first year, and he's cooled off. Belly, I think, is a leader because they respect him for what he's done. But, like, I don't think that, like, Brett Gardner being in that locker room, being in that clubhouse, rather, like, he had a ring, and he was part of the old regime. And every year we get further away from that, that dies. Like, CeCe Sabathia, not in there anymore. Judge was around some of these guys. But, like, Judge, he doesn't strike me as the guy to be a rah-rah guy and yell and strike fear in anybody. Let's go to Miriam in Forest Hills. Miriam, how you feeling about those make-it-happen Mets?
I love it. I'm so proud of them. They came back, and I think tonight we'll see who pitches because some of those people are missing. But this Yankee Mets stuff is a novelty. Enough with this. It's a novelty. That's all it is. It's nice.
Yeah, but they're going to make a lot of it. They're going to make a lot of it.
Oh, please.
Luckily, it's a holiday weekend, though, so you'll probably have like some fill-ins during this weekend. And
we'll
see what happens when we get back on Monday. I think the Mets are going to win the series. I just think the Yankees are in a bad one. And just the way that baseball goes, like, I think the Mets got it.
The Yankees, you know what? I've never been a Yankee fan, even when I was a kid. I was a Giants fan. And I learned a whole lot from rooting for another team, is that if you care about your team, who cares what anybody else thinks?
In New York, it's tough. Everywhere you look, it's Mets versus Yankees, Yankees versus Mets.
It's a nice novelty. Let me talk about something that you should know. Ask yourself, is Toonie allergic to firecrackers? Is she afraid of firecrackers? Because
she doesn't leave the house, and I won't bring any in the house.
No, you shouldn't, because it's scary. I had one cat that I used to have to hold in my arms because he was so scared.
Toon is afraid of the thunder, and so is my son. So I don't know. We'll see what happens this weekend when the fire...
That's what I'm hoping, that she's not and he's not. So you just hold them a lot and comfort them.
They're going to be scared, but I'm not holding them. I'm trying to go see them. I'm trying to see some fireworks. I'm not. I'm have my wife in the house with them. I'm going outside.
Well, then you have to hold them and comfort them because they're scared. Tiger's pretty good. He's not afraid of anything. I'm proud of him. He's not afraid of anything. But the reality is that, you know, sometimes they are scared. So you have to hold them and comfort them and make sure that they're okay.
I try and tell them to be tough. Thanks for the call, Miriam. Even my son, be like, scared when there's thunder. And even my cat, meow. I'm like, yo, y'all are soft, bro. It's outside. We're good. We're up here, like, multiple floors up. It's Mother Nature. It's the sky. Like, you never heard. Like, last week, I think it was, there was some really loud thunder. It is what it is. I used to live in this spot when my son was first born. I used to live in this spot where we were too close to the hood, and they were firing off fireworks all night. Like, when my son was first born, I lived somewhere else, where, like, close to a park. They would be boom, 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 like 1 a.m. We're good now. We're good now. But that's coming. You might hear them tonight. It's the 4th now. And, you know, it continues for a week because people stock up. And they're just going to let them ring off for from now to July 9th. All right, 888-808-1019, still talking to these Yankee fans on The Fan after we just reported that Aaron Boone told the team that they're the best in the league and they should be unfazed by this. Now you should be a little fazed. And now you have some injuries. And now you have the Mets and the Met fans to deal with. And the last thing that the Yankees want, the last thing the Yankees want is to lose 4 in a row, Marcus Stroman get rocked, and for them to have a party on July 4th in Flushing. Keith McPherson on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. I didn't take the whole week off. Like, it's nothing. It's nothing to come in here and talk about the Stankies and the Yankees losing. Before we get back to these calls, and I'm going to go straight calls, there's a couple things I wanted to hit people with. One, there's just some things from the chat. Amber in the chat says, you know, competitors get phased. That's how you gain an edge. Talking about how, you know, Boone just told the team, you shouldn't be fazed by this. But yes, the Yankees used to have teams shook before they even crossed the foul line to step in between those lines against them. You know what I'm saying? Like, that used to be the thing about the Yankees. You got them beat before the first pitch. Nobody fears these Yankees because these Yankees don't fear anything. Right? So, Mendel says, we need someone to smash a cooler. Show some fight. No, there isn't any of that, right? Because, like, everybody's too cool now. Aaron Boone is the cool dad, and they're too cool now. No one can flip out and get too mad now because it'd be like, yo, what are you doing? We're just in a rough stretch. Why are you overreacting? Why are you so mad? We're the Yankees. We're good. Did you break something? Are you out of your mind? Like, that is what the vibe has turned into. I think I'm starting to turn into a little Carl Anthony Towns right there. And then Evan says, notice how they all say the same thing in the press conference? Yes, because it's rinse and repeat when you keep losing, right? So when you keep losing, you're prepared to say that, you're prepared to put on the same face and say the same things about, yeah, we need to play better. This is just a bad stretch, though. Yeah, sure. There are some things we got to work on, but we're going to come out of it. We're going to turn the corner. We believe in each other. The belief in this group, we can do it. We can. Then do it. Then do it. Win. 888-808-1019. I've been calling them the participation trophy era Yankees, and there's this account on Twitter, at Yankees Light, and they did the homework. They did some ChatGPT stuff, and it's too hard for me to read all of this, but basically they did the work to compare the Yankees to Yankees teams of the past. It starts off saying, are the Yankees' annual summer downturns a normal part of the game, or are they unique? Last night, Aaron Judge had this to say about the Yankees' 6-13 spell, now 6-14. Judge said, we're going through two of these a year. Every good team does. So what this person did was go back and say, okay, every good team goes through this twice a year. Let's do the research. And they defined a good team as a team that finishes with 90 wins or better. They went back the last five seasons to 2020 to 2024, and they took the Yankees' worst stretch within those seasons, and then they compared it to other 90-win teams. Between 2024 and 2020, there were 41 teams to win 90 games. And here's a breakdown of what they found. In 2020, the Yankees' worst stretch was 4-15. The number of good teams with a equivalent or worse stretch, zero. And 2020 was a shortened season, whatever, so take it as you may, but whatever. That's where the sample size starts, 60-game season. Let's go to 2021. The Yankees' worst stretch in 2021, they went 10-22. The number of 90-win teams with an equivalent or worse stretch, goose egg again, zero, zero. In 2022, the Yankees' worst stretch was 10-17. Okay, in 2022, the number of 90-win teams with an equivalent or worse stretch was 3. 2023, when they went 82-80 and Judge was hurt, their worst stretch was 12-21. The number of 90-win teams with an equivalent or worse stretch was 2. In 2024, the Yankees' worst stretch was 12-24. The number of 90-win teams with an equivalent or worse stretch was 0. So you keep telling them that we're a good team, we're a good team, good teams go through this. But in the last 5 years, there's only been 5 examples of that. Maybe one other team a year. It is you. It is the participation trophy Yankees. It is your organization. It is what you go through. It is what you consistently do. Don't put that on anybody else. The Dodgers don't do that. In the 5-year span, only 5 out of 41 teams went through these stretches. So stop. Like, people are putting together numbers and literally doing deep dives and calling you out on what you're saying. You're lying. Your words hold no weight because they're not factual. So snap out of it and actually be accountable and stop putting on, oh, yeah, it's just baseball. No, it's not just baseball. Control what you can control. Jonathan is in Los Angeles on the Fan. What's up, Jonathan?
Yo, what's good, my guy, Keith? Hey, man, those were some pretty good stats right there, the ones you just said, man. Hey man, look, with Boom Bro, I mean, it was that, I think it was that at bat with Bellinger, or I think who was it, but with Ben Rice, he striked out and Boom didn't do nothing. I'm not these type of fans that I'm calling every day and I tell, oh, you know, Boom should be fired every day. No, but I'm like, I'm watching this game. I'm like, Boom, I mean, get your ass, go over there, tell the ump was messing up the whole damn game, bro. He was calling bad strikes. I mean, come on, you're already losing 8-3. Just go up and just go get kicked out. Do something. I mean, bro, I was yelling at the TV, do something. Instead, you got the pitching coach, Matt Blake, over there.
Yeah, he's talking right behind Boone. And what they were saying, Jonathan, is out there in Toronto, they're so far from the umpire, but the ump could hear him. Trent Grisham had an egregious strike call called on him. Go do something about it. You can't. You won't. And like, what's the point now? You've lost 4 in a row. You're on your way to losing your 4th. Get tossed.
Instead, he's blowing his bubble, man. His bubbles, bro. But you know what? At this point, man, I'm not gonna lie to you, man, and I'm serious, Keith. Last October, bro, it was bad times living here in LA and going through all these Dodger fans. It was humiliation. It was bad for me, my son, my wife. It was really bad, man. I don't want to go through that again. All right. But the thing is, I'm not really afraid of the Rays or the Blue Jays. I'm really not, bro. Quietly, the Houston Astros is already creeping up to probably being the best team in AL. And what's going to happen this year? How are we going to get embarrassed? How are the New York Yankees are going to get embarrassed, humiliated in October? Is it going to be the Astros kicking our butts once again or sweeping us and the ALCS? Why? Because we ain't got a home field advantage? Are we barely going to make the World Series and get embarrassed worldwide once again in the World Series, man? I'm just bracing myself, man. I'm a diehard Yankee fan, and I'm just bracing myself for the worst, man. But this team, sometimes I ask myself, man, I should just take it down with my fandom. But hey, Keith, by the way, good thing, bro. Good thing you closed your gambling app, bro. Because trust me, with the Red Sox series and this series, I was like, oh, no, Yankees ain't going to get swept. Well, that came back and bite me in my ass, yep, and in my wallet.
Yeah, no, I'm done. I'm done.
Great weekend, my guy.
You the man, Jonathan. I mean, I feel for you, bro. And I don't know if you guys listen. Jonathan has come here. He's brought his son here. They were at opening day. I got to meet them during the ALDS last year. World Series was tough on all of us, bro. And that's why this is hard, because it's like, this was supposed to be a year where they tightened the screws up on this thing. This was supposed to be the year where they pivoted and they added some, you know, NL All-Stars to this team. And they were supposed to be on a war path to get back to the World Series and avenge that loss. And like, this team don't look like a World Series team. There's too many holes, and now there's too many injuries, and now there's this weak-ass mentality of we're the Yankees, we're the best team in the league. No, you're not. You haven't played like the best team in the league in a long time. You are what your record says you are. You are what your last game says you are. So, I don't know, man. What I will say is, like, I've already kind of, man, I've taken so many of these Octobers so hard. Like, October is such a tough month for me. And you guys know, for me talking about losing my brother. So if you've ever lost somebody in your life, that anniversary of their death coming up, you know, my brother passed in the middle of October, where, man, I lose sleep. I grieve different. I just always go back to like living through those days. And like, honestly, I remember being at the 2015 wild card game, and I always flex that I threw Kobe Rasmus home run back, and my brother died days after that wild card loss. And so every year, man, it's just like heavy hearts and emotions of another baseball season wasted and another year that you get older. Like, that's 10 years ago now. Like, I think about, like, you know, everything when we get to October. I'm not doing it this year, bro. I've grown out of it. I have a kid now. I have other things now. Like, I can't let the New York Yankees who go through the motions and tell you that, you know, this is good, piss on your head and tell you it's raining, you know, when they do ultimately end up in, they're going to make it to October, right? They're going to be in the postseason. But that's not the bar. Making it to the postseason, that's the participation trophy Yankees. You're supposed to win the whole thing. You're supposed to, you know, I had an analogy with someone on Twitter earlier. I was like, the Yankees are the kid that says, yo, don't judge me for my bad grades halfway through the semester. I'm going to get my grades up. Yeah, but it's not about getting your grades up just to pass the courses. You know, you pass with a C minus. You're the Yankees. You have all the resources in the world. You have the best player in the game. You've got all of these fans, home field advantage. You've got the greatest doctors and people that would you know, hook you up with all these different things. Your players have every resource. You have good players. You have this high payroll. You're not supposed to just pass this semester. You're supposed to finish at the top of the class this semester. That's what we expect of you. Let's go to John and Maspeth on the fan. What's up, John?
Jeep, what's up, man? Yeah, so this team, man, you know, it's a roller coaster ride, and a small part of me wants to sell at the deadline. And hear me out on this.
Okay.
We sell at the deadline just for this year, sell the pieces that are going away, Weaver, Williams, Grisham, go maybe throw in Tim Hill, Loizaga, because relievers can get you a lot in the open market at the trade deadline. And have we seen this with Chapman when we got Torres back? We've seen this with Andrew Miller when we got, which is Dan Clint Frazier, right? Now, what if we just unload on all these players that are leaving after this year and maybe one or two for next year, get a bunch of prospects back, and then in the offseason, we finally go Death Star, like Cashman said. Use these prospects to just, hey, let's go call up Cleveland. Let's go all in on Jose Ramirez. Let's go give them an offer they can't refuse.
Thanks for the call, John. We're tight on time. I got two more calls left, and I want to respond to that. They'll never do that. One, because Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees believe that the tournament is a crapshoot, that all they have to do is get in the tournament, whether they win the division or a wild card, that all they got to do is get in the tournament, and maybe it's their year. Also, Aaron Judge is in his prime, probably going to win the MVP if he gets hot for a couple weeks and can catch Cal Raleigh. You know, maybe the Triple Crown will be back there if he can keep his average up. But, like, they're not going to punt at the deadline, sell off in a year where they feel like if we get to the postseason and Aaron Judge doesn't fold, he might be able to carry us. But, I mean, now everybody's intentionally walking. I'm like, I would not let him bat in the postseason, even if he does get hot. You know, it's going to take a team, and they have so many holes in this team. They have so many flaws in this roster construction. And that's the thing, right? The cracks in your armor show. The more battles you go through, the more cracks in your armor show. Let's go to Rich in South Orange on the Fan next. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Keith, 2 points I'd like to make. I think both you and Chris, I listen to you every night, are good Yankee observers. I think the difference is you speak a little bit more for the fan, whereas Chris speaks a little bit more for the organization. But the second point I'd like to make is I think if you're Cleveland and the Yankees, the last caller read my mind, the Yankees make an offer that Cleveland can't refuse, and that is you get your choice. Two out of three, Dominguez, Lombard, or Jones for Ramirez. I think the Indians would benefit by that because they're not, their window is not even open. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. And the Yankees are in a win-now mode. And Yankees would get Ramirez on a good contract. So let me know your feelings, and thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for the call, Rich. Yeah, it is funny. Like, Big Mac does defend the organization a lot. I don't know why. I mean, I get it, and Big Mac is great. He makes great points, and he's a great baseball fan. He's a little bit older than me, too, so, like, he's lived a different Yankee fandom, but, like, I don't know. I speak as a fan, and I guess for the fans, because I talk to fans, like, you know, there's no reason. Like, we're trying to win. We're trying to not just win games, not just win 90 games, not get to the postseason. We're trying to win a World Series. We want to win a championship, have a parade. Then you'll see how many Yankee fans there actually are and how strong this fan base is. But anyway, Jose Ramirez to me is just not a real thing. Jose Ramirez signed a steal of a deal. Jose Ramirez, I wouldn't trade if I'm the Guardians, not the Indians. I wouldn't trade him for anything because he wanted to be there. That is the face of their franchise. That is their guy. And they do have a couple other pieces, guys like Steven Kwan. Like, they're not, why would they trade him to the Yankees? It might not be their year this year, but they were just in the ALCS last year. They're not trading. Why would they trade Jose Ramirez? He's not forcing a trade. I don't see it. His name comes up all the time. Yeah, the Yankees need a third baseman. So all of you immediately point to the guy in the American League starting at third base in the All-Star game, Jose Ramirez. He's not going to ever be a Yankee. And if he is, I hope I'm dead wrong. But, like, I don't think there's any trade package that the Guardians would be interested in this year to send him to the Bronx. Last call of the night goes to Joe and Merrick on the Fan. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Keith. I would ask how you're doing, but you're a Yankee fan like me, so your head is probably spinning with anger and confusion after what just happened.
Yeah, it sucks. It's not fun. This whole stretch has been trash. Terrible.
You know, like up into these games, I would think of George Springer. I would think of the guy that ran into another outfielder, had a concussion, had that stupid look on his face while the base is unloaded and they get kicked out of the playoffs. Now when I think of George Springer, I have to think of, what, 7 for 14 with 11 RBI and two home runs. I mean, but this is what the Yankees do. We make crappy pitchers look like aces, like Cy Young, and we make whatever average position players look like Cal Ripken Jr. I mean, that was terrible. And then, yesterday, the monumental comeback from like 8-0, and then we lose on a passed ball? Are you serious? I wish we just lost 8-0.
I said, like, they bring you up just to power bomb you on your neck.
Just like the World Series, exactly. Yep. I mean, where's the catcher? All the championship teams, I remember, there was Posada or Girardi, and now, I mean, Ascara is an Uber driver. Uber is my second job. I could be the catcher. Or Wells can't hit, and Rice is just not a catcher. He can't throw guys out, and the pass ball thing was terrible, you know? We got swept in 4 games against Toronto.
And they can't get swept against the Mets, or all hell is going to break loose. And it's going to be bad for the next homestand, you know? Look at KD Sharp right now. You know, in the last 20 games, the Yankees 14 losses, 159 runners left on base. It's the first time since 1990 that they've had any 20-game stretch with 14 losses, 159 runners left on base. Like, don't tell me that this is just baseball. Don't tell me that they're the best team in the league. Like, that's wrong. Incorrect. False. Stop making stuff up, man. Everybody's just using actual facts and numbers. All right, Al Cintron's coming up next. Everybody have a good 4th of July weekend. Thanks for listening to my show. Keith McPherson out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.